Some of these clay lenses, for example, can absorb water and get real like jello. And when that happens, then of course you know what jello would be like. It's just going to slide.
The Haynes crack widens, and Skagway and Canada want artists without borders. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell with Misty Wiley in Skagway. That news and more up next. The ground failure in Haynes is shifting at a faster rate and grown to encompass about 5 acres, according to the crews monitoring the horseshoe-shaped piece of land that's been actively creeping toward the ocean since mid-January.
There was a sudden movement last night at about somewhere in the neighborhood of 7:30, 7:15. That was significant enough that it aroused residents there nearby who called the police, and they called me and I went down.
Rock Ahrens is the emergency coordinator at the Haynes Command Center that formed to monitor the slide zone, which is thought to be moving because of ground saturation and unstable soil.
And there was a noticeable change in the road from when I had left there at 3:30, and the road had opened up about 8 inches vertically and horizontally dropped about 4 inches.
The series of 5 or so cracks in the earth located on the east side of Haynes has caused at least one family to evacuate their home and is attracting the attention of weather, engineering, and geology experts throughout the Pacific Northwest. Department of Transportation and Haynesboro workers have been keeping up with the movement by filling cracks as they widen and leveling humps forming in roadways to keep traffic flowing.
One of the biggest impacts to the community if the road should go out is, of course, the transportation link that the Lutac Road provides. And if it was to go out in a manner to take out Front Street with it, the traffic in and out of that Lutac area is more vital than one would think.
The two roads most affected, Lutac Road and Front Street, are the main access routes to the town's shipping dock, ferry terminal, and a neighborhood of about 50 homes.
If you stop and think, all of our freight comes off of the city dock, of course, and comes into town from that direction. The Yukon and freight into the Anchorage and parts north area, so it's not only vital to us, but internationally, the link that comes across this area that would be wiped out, plus our home heating oil and all of our fuels for gas and diesel and so forth, as well as the ferry and all transportation to and from, the ferry, and then the residents. So there's a lot that happens in the Lutac area that we are very concerned about that transportation link. So we have some backup contingencies that we've worked out to try to provide no more than possibly a 2-day delay.
Ahrens, a longtime Haynes resident, has an extensive background in disaster planning and is working with his team to compile the data from the slide site and put together a preparation plan for any bigger impact that could occur, like damage to the main sewer line for neighborhoods above the cracks, which is partially located within the slumping area.
And so in the case of that sewer, either shearing, because there seems to be maybe a twisting as well as a downward movement of this slope area, the plan is to plug a manhole off above, and it would be up in the Ocean View Drive by where the road is, to plug off a manhole there and put a pump in it and pump it down to wherever the good part of the sewer would be again, as there's the 3 manholes on down line, to get it back into the line that runs down Front Street. And so it would be an above-ground temporary hose, if you will, because they're like a discharge hose from the pumps you see working around the dewatering of construction sites. There's already a quantity of that reserved, Tyler Equipment in Juneau, and they have ensured us that there's plenty of 3 and 4 inch pipe that we could use for that. So we've got that problem pretty well backed up, and then we just go down the priority list of what would be the next greatest impact and how are we going to solve that, and that's the task that we're working on here in this command center.
The ground failure was first reported on January 16th, and Public Works responded by marking traffic hazards for motorists and monitoring the slope movement. They also worked with a geologist and engineers for the State of Alaska DOT to look at the area and gather field data. Additionally, a geotech engineer from Seattle came to Haines to assess the ground failure and advise the borough on proper monitoring and preparing for any further problem. Drilling rigs extracted samples of deep earth from five different areas below and above the slump. Borough sewer and water employees hope the samples will shed light on how viscous the ground material in the moving area is within the next few weeks.
They know that it's material that's not able to hold up the weight of you know, the material above, and then depending on the amount of water that's coming through it and stuff, some of these clay lenses, for example, can absorb water and get real like jello. And when that happens, then of course you know what jello would be like. It's just going to slide.
In the meantime, a warm weather front moving into Haines has site crews even more alert. Above freezing temperatures and close to 4 inches of rain predicted for that exact area by the end of the week has convinced the borough to take further precautions.
It's very concerning because with those large cracks that we're not able to even see, let alone get to fill with materials, any increase of water flowing down there will run off into those cracks and just cause the problem to get more water down there into those unstable soils, which is not a good condition. So it's not good.
Borough representatives have personally alerted residents at five houses around the affected area of the activity and are monitoring the area closely. The borough continues to operate a command center at the Public Works Office with daily recordings available to people through the number 766-2256. The borough website is also posting daily updates at HainesBorough.us. New planning rules for national forests will have little immediate impact on Southeast Alaska, but they could mean some changes for South Central forest lands. Federal Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on Thursday released an environmental impact statement needed to finalize the rules. They call for stronger protection for forests, water, and wildlife while supporting rural economies. Alaska Regional Forester Beth Pendleton says the rules describe the type of restoration and watershed protection already underway in Southeast Tongass.
The new real strength of this planning rule is that focus on collaboration and the utilization of best science in that revision process.
The rules spell out priorities for forest management plans. Pendleton says the Tongass plan is not due for full-scale update until 2018, but South Central's Chugach will be revised in the next 2 or 3 years.
We will be doing that under a new, more modern planning rule that I believe is going to better reflect science, public values, and knowledge on how to create and implement more effective land management plans.
The rules also say the plan should address climate change's impacts on the forest. Agriculture Secretary Vilsack, who oversees the national forest system, says the new rules should help nearby towns and cities.
We know these communities rely on the forest for jobs, for clean air and clean water. We believe that this framework will take their concerns into consideration. We also believe that if an amendment or a change is required, we think it will take less time and less money to accomplish that change than under previous efforts.
The Agriculture Department oversees 193 million acres of forests nationwide. Southeast Tongass has about 17 million acres, and South Central's Chugach has about 5.5 million acres. Artists are helping bridge the international gap in a new artist-in-residency program that takes place near the border that Skagway shares with Canada. Misty Wiley has the story.
Calling all artists, Uncle Sam wants you. Parks Canada wants you too.
I think this is a great opportunity for the about 1,500 hikers annually to have a chance to work with some artists out on the trail, as well as a great way to solidify some partnerships with the National Park Service, Skagway Arts Council, the Yukon Arts Center, and as well as, of course, Parks Canada, because we are an international park, so I think it's a really great program that we're bringing back to life, and it'll be a great service to visitors and to the community alike.
The National Park Service is teaming up with Parks Canada to give a unique opportunity to two visual artists. One artist from the United States and one from Canada would be selected. Amanda McCutcheon with Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park explains what the artists would do.
Each of the these artists, one from each country, will be, could be at a different time or the same time, be spending a two-week period out on the trail.
During this two-week period, the artists would help hikers on the Chilkoot Trail understand how an artist would see and use the trail, and also produce art for the parks to use for exhibition and outreach. Amanda explains what requirements an artist should have to be considered for the program.
We are looking for visual artists, primarily, and they will need to be signed up as a volunteer for both parks, and so that sometimes will require, well, in both cases will require that they do have a visa to work in either country, so Canadian for the U.S. or U.S. for Canada.
There are some perks to being part of the program.
Also, just to remind artists that there is an honorarium from the Yukon Arts Council for $1,000, as well as some backcountry travel paid by the National Park Service. And so there's some incentive there. We are looking for great applicants to apply and really looking forward to this international journey.
For more information and submission materials, go to the Skagway Arts Council website at www.skagwayartscouncil.blogspot.com. Or you can call Amanda directly.
You know, my office number, the 907-983-9243, if people have questions.
Reporting in Skagway for KHNS, this is Misty Wiley.
The Skagway Borough Assembly meets Thursday. They'll address the public's recently expressed interest in an ad hoc recycling committee and review the public safety building final conceptual plan. Also on the agenda is a second reading of the proposed ordinance to fund an additional police 911 dispatcher position. The Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday at City Hall. This is Tara Bicknell with Misty Wiley for KHNS.